Hey.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Blossom and Brew podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Regine Sawyer, and I have with me the illustrious
Ilka Pinheiro. Hello. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hello. We have a couple of announcements. We're on Spotify now, which is really trippy. You know, you listen to other folks on Spotify. Like, there's other podcasts that I really enjoy, like The Blurred Girl. Mm-hmm. And to be on Spotify is kind of cool. You know, it's kind of cool. So get on Spotify, type in Blossom and Brew, and we'll pop up. And follow us, and you can listen to all of our past episodes and, you know, any other episodes that we are so inclined to throw up there, because you never know. Sometimes we may do one episode or two episodes in a week. You know, it depends. You know, things have been so crazy that, you know, let's just throw, you know, all protocols to the wind.
Yes. I'm really here for it. I'm really here for all of, you know, truly the, like, you know, the abolition of these, like, trash ass patriarchal thought forms where it's like, you have to do this on this schedule that, like, so no one, you know, set.
So you're ready to get into it. You're on fire.
I mean, am I? I don't really know. It feels like, I'm not sure. Yeah, probably. I was even going to say, you might be right, because even you were like, Spotify, it's kind of trippy to be on Spotify. I'm just sort of like, yeah, I guess. Like, it all feels so wild, wild west to me right now. And like, we're just, you know, that it's just like, Spotify doesn't matter. Like, what, not that Spotify doesn't matter, but like, you know, it's just like the sort of illustrious kind of aspirational quality that I may have once had with Spotify is sort of like crumbled. Like, I'm just like, yeah, Spotify, you lucky to have us on your shit.
True.
You know, like, that's where I am with it. So, you know what?
We are blessing the airwaves.
Indeed. And so, salient point, I guess the bitch is on fire. What? Spicy Pisces in the house for real. I am just having such, as I believe we all are. The word that's coming up for me right now is just rowdy. It just feels like a rowdy time energetically, and psychologically and physically. You know, like, this is not, we are not in peacetime right now. So, I don't know, girl. You say some things. Go ahead and say some things.
Well, I mean, we always like to start off with how the week has been. I mean, I feel these days we're going moment to moment.
Indeed.
Not even day by day.
Word.
Not even week by week. But I will put it out there and say, well, how was your week?
Today is Thursday? No, Wednesday?
Yes. So from last Wednesday to this Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm with it. You know what? Given the fact that everything that I really do continue to relate to feeling like a leaf on the wind, I'm dropping in on Sunday, which was, I think I mentioned to you, you know, packed to the gills with, like, with, you know, just events for us, by us, Black folks. So, you know, I got up Sunday, took a class that was like integrated, just a regular movement class. And that was interesting. And then I immediately went into, like, you know, two kind of back-to-back experiences that were just Black women. And it was stunning because I realized how infrequently it happens. In those numbers, you know what I mean? Like, in that volume, you know, because I'll have things where it's just like, you know, there'll be like three, maybe five of us, you know, all together in a place. And this was just like, oh, right. Look, here are like 20 Black women from all over, wherever.
Was it a workshop?
It was. One of them was a breath workshop, a breath and sort of meditation workshop. And the other was just sort of like a, you know, kind of like a virtual kickback, which is sort of like, what the fuck? Just like, let's all check in. How are we doing? Let's hold space for each other. And what struck me not only about my experience of like, oh, this doesn't really happen a lot, I actually mentioned it in the second event because by that point I had noticed the pattern, and several women, like almost every single woman, was like, oh, right. Like, I noticed that too. Like, we just don't have spaces. Like, we have our little small, like, let's call them like immediate sort of family units, you know, but because we're so constantly inundated with like navigating whiteness in everything, you know, and there's this interesting phenomenon where it's sort of like made us as Black people a little more disparate. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that I was that I've been working with for the earlier part of this week, and how we can sort of create, you know, more spaces for ourselves to gather. Just for ourselves to gather. We can work with that, that much less, you know, we can turn that muscle off, you know, that navigating whiteness muscle, that risk assessment muscle. So that was a big part of my week that I've been working with. And then also, you know, really and truly just like watching examples of like whiteness crumble inside of white people and how that is just inspiring them to wild out.
Like it's a serious unraveling.
They are wiling right now. Yeah. Yes. I love that word for it. Yeah. It's true. They truly are. It truly is unraveling. Like the thread of the sweater got pulled, and then it's just like, you know, and it's just like, la, 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 la. Oh, wow. And what I find also interesting is how, because it feels to me like it's unraveling fairly quickly, and also, it's a big sweater.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I mean, for the past 2 weeks, mm-hmm. with, you know, the killing of George Floyd and, you know, us wanting to bring Breonna Taylor's killers to justice, and, you know, a whole bunch of other injustices that have just, like, piled on top of each other, not just within the past couple of weeks, but for the past 400 years, to be honest. It's been interesting as folks are becoming more and more vocal on social media, and as various different companies and corporations are coming out and saying, you know, we stand with Black lives, you know, Black lives matter, like we're for eradicating disparity and blah, blah, blah. And then Black folks are coming out like, oh, but is this you? Didn't you say such and such? Or when I was with your company, this happened, so what's good?
Yeah. I mean, I got blocked by old girl. I got blocked by, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow's Goopy, her favorite, one of her favorite clairvoyant acupuncturists.
When I worked for her.
I sure did.
Block me. Are we gonna?
Let's go ahead and tell that story. So I was working for a person who, you know, back at the time when I was working for her, I started out as a client of hers, and like, you know, in that experience, like in the space that she held for me, was a big reconciliation place for like me and my intuition, right? And like my psychic abilities. So for that, I will always be grateful. And like, had we ended it there, that would have been one thing. And then what had happened was she saw what I had to offer and she offered me a job. Little did I know at the time that, you know, it was really more of just like a cash cow situation. And she wasn't actually in my experience, in my perspective, and given the way that she treated me once it became, you know, an employer-employee working together relationship, just hella anti-Blackness came out, you know, just, and like all of it, just textbook, gaslighting, wage theft, labor theft, you know, microaggressions, just the whole nine yards. And then so that person and I parted quite some years ago, not amicably at all. And come to find a couple nights ago, I was just chilling in my house, not really minding my business. And a voice came in and said, check her Instagram. This was right around the Black Box bonanza. And so the voice said, go sis, go see what she did. Go see what she did. So I went and I looked and she posted her Black Box, and the comment under the Black Box was muted and listening. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. And then the second post after that was, you know, all of these slides and this is the way this company is helping. We're showing up like this. And, you know, she has her little online intuitive school. Amazing. And she says the first 100 Black people to sign up get like a scholarship. And that's where my spidey sense tingled, because I was like, you know what? This person exhibits predatory behavior, and this is her luring, right? People that I know from my experience will come to harm by this person.
Yes.
So I reached out to her, you know, and I said, hey, just coming in to mention this thing. I can't even remember really what I wrote, but it was pretty even keeled, you know. Just coming in to mention that, like, I noticed you're doing this thing, and I would really invite you to consider the way you interact with and consume Blackness. You know, it's like, whatever, just, And in response, I was blocked immediately. I was like, oh, wow, okay, well, cool. So that just lets me know that you have every intention of doing what you're doing, that you in particular are not at all interested in dismantling how you know, like, align yourself to pursue, defend, protect whiteness. You're just still, like, you're so on the other side. Like, you're so far away from that you're actually just using our pain as a tool to get more, you know, prey. So that to me, like, I hope I'm expressing how sinister that feels to me.
No, you are.
Feels absolutely predatory. And there's that part, I think, of this process, you know, wherein, like, yes, there are some white and, quite frankly, non-Black people of color, because this person happens to be a non-Black person of color, who, yes, they are unraveling. And what I am starting to notice over the course of this week, now that, like, my sort of internal weather is starting to adapt to what I think is going to be a long fucking campaign for everybody, not just us now, is the way in which people are just using it as yet another tool. And the way they're using the tool is just this, like, pretense of, right, I give a shit, you know? And so that, I think, is something for which we have to be diligently aware.
Yeah, no, we do have to be mindful, because even I did a post last week, and it was in reference to what I actually spoke about on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, in which I was removed from an organization based upon the word of a white woman.
Right.
Who seemingly is about and for the people and so forth. And I decided to do the tweet because I kept seeing people just retweet things from her, and I'm blocked. She's blocked me. So I just see her name.
Right.
And I know that she's posting about, you know, Black Lives Matter, protests, blah, 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 blah. But you had no problem shedding white tears in order to get me out of a person of color organization. You know, and so I felt like it was my duty to say something and say, hey, like, look, like, the greater conversation of what I'm tweeting is about being mindful of who you allow into the quote unquote cookout.
Right. Well,
you know, look, and maybe
I'm not comfortable with any kind of cookout.
I agree with you, but I wanted to preface it, like, as in, like, be mindful of who you're bringing into our spaces.
Yes.
Make sure that you're bringing in accomplices, not allies, not people that just want to peek over the fence and see what's going on and be performative and act like they're about change. They're about unraveling their white toxicity when they're, in fact, highly immersed in anti-Black behavior.
Right.
It's like, let us as a people be mindful of that. And also for folks who are interested in unraveling their anti-Blackness and their white toxicity, that they do actual, real, tangible work.
The thing that's so funny to me is that in my conversations with them over the course of the week, they really and truly, just like I said last week, I believe, they all know to do. They've said it to me. I've heard it from the various horses' mouths. Most of them, the vast majority, I would say maybe two of the ones I really rock with, and there really are not that many, directly have been like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, start here. And the only reason I'm telling you is because I've been talking to your ass for a while. And that just feels like it's, again, a part of the unraveling. And that just makes me get to this place where I'm like, okay, wait, so this whole time that we've been talking, have y'all just not been listening? Like, did you really not take any notes? You didn't note when, you know, somebody was like, this book, like, you didn't mental note that. You just were like, oh yeah, there goes so-and-so talking about Black shit again. Okay, let me keep on going. I got to go ahead and find this here lasagna recipe. Like, it feels like that was just, like, no, but you feel me though, because the way, yeah, like, the way that I'm seeing so many of them be like, oh, I'm like, wait a minute. I've been talking to you. And so that means, and I know the other Black people are talking. So if y'all been hearing it from me, then motherfuckers like you been hearing it from motherfuckers like me. So you just, nah, you just kept in hoofing. You just, oh yeah, they did Black shit again. It's too bad for them. Yep, here we go.
Did you ask anybody, like, in the midst of any of these conversations, I'm just curious, did you ask anybody, like, hey, after all these years, you didn't make any mental notes? Like, you didn't, like, what's up, what's good? Did you ask them? I'm just curious.
You know what? I truly have not. And that's honestly because I would say...
You were disgusted.
No. No, because the very few people, again, the people to whom I directly had this interaction were like, yeah, nah, that's my bad. That's horrendous. I'm like, yup. It really, really is. And so it's, I think for us as Black people, as brown people aligned with, like, pro-Blackness, right? And, like, liberation and the abolishment of whiteness. What was I going to say? It was, oh, yeah, it's, like, this extra, like, I feel like there's so much suspicion. You know, I feel very suspicious right now. Like, it's a new, there's, like, a new ingredient that has come up in the soup of suspicion that melanated people walk around with to whatever degree. And I personally walk around with, where I'm just like, all of a sudden you got all this shit to say, but you ain't had nothing to say this whole time. Show me the receipts. You giving $1,000 to some whatever organization every month for the past 15 years? And so now you can come out and post your Black box, or no?
Well, and it's also when people pop up and say, again, this goes back to the quote unquote, this you, you know, is that you know what's going on in your companies. Like, a lot of folks are privy to what's going on in HR. And then your publicist tells you, okay, post this thing that says that you are for Black lives and, you know, we're working on our anti-racism and blah, blah, blah. But you know you had a class action lawsuit. you know that you're still trying to figure out people's pay grades based upon their race and their gender and so forth. Like, you know this is going on, and you know more than likely somebody's going to pop up and say, is this you? Because this is what happened to me in this company at this point in time, and I got receipts. I mean, if I were those companies, I would be posting shit. I wouldn't post anything. Like, we're racist, that's it.
Right? Let's just keep my racism. We're just gonna do it the way we've always done it. We're going to keep just making it fucking terrible for niggas to work here. You know, we gonna make it harder for them to get the job. When they get the job, we gonna stiff them on the pay. And then when it's just like, all right, because I got this shit to pay, because the only reason I got in this room for the most part is because I paid a whole bunch of money for a degree that you done told my parents I had to have a leg up. So here we go. So I got these student loans and these things. Let's go do it. And then you get the job and then you got to deal with the microaggressions and the shenanigans and the bebops. I saw this lady tweet out some things today where she said, you know, one time for the people who are not sharing their stories because they're still in a racist ass workplace. And I was like, real fucking talk though.
Yes, yes.
You know, and how, like, I was told not too long ago by a friend that maybe you might want to, like, temper the things you say if you're going to be looking for jobs. And I was like, I don't like it, you know, for a couple of reasons, like systemic reasons and also ego reasons, because I really like my voice. Shit. Like, I'm just like, I think I should be able to say what the fuck I want to say. Speaking of student loans, I'm paying back a whole bunch of money to be crafting this extremely unique voice. Don't you tell me to fucking censor it for who? For some job? Okay. Nah, that ain't right. Break it up. Burn it to the ground.
But you know,
all of it.
It's a real fear. I mean, it was a concern for me, like, starting this podcast. Because
it's still a concern. Absolutely.
You know, it's still a concern. It's a concern for both of us, but mm-hmm. also people who speak their minds and their truths. And but I always have to like sort of pull myself back. It's like, well, you do this work for, you know, folks in the comic book industry. Like, it's important that, you know, you speak. It's like, I'm about like pushing their voices forward. I'm like, damn, I got to push my voice forward, huh?
Seems like.
You know, it's like, oh, I got to do it for me too. Oh shit, you know?
And that also, but that slides me back though too into like, the, what is the word? Ubiquitousness, fucking, again, whiteness. Okay, so we're just gonna go into this valley real quick, right? And white gaze and all of that, which makes me think of this other thing that I noticed at the early part of last week, where that, and I don't think it took off too hard, I don't think it caught, but it was this thing where people were, no judgment, people were posting, black folks were posting selfies, and they were just saying, it was that thing where it was like that sort of same text where it was like, I build black people, this is me, I do this, da da da. Did you see that one? Where it was just sort of like a self, like I said, it didn't really catch. And the only reason I actually knew about it was because a good friend of mine who lives in LA was just like, I'm not doing that shit. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, this thing that people doing, they keep tagging people in the thing, you got to put up a picture up of yourself and talk about basically how you dare for all black people and this and that and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And his point was, he was just like, I'll drag an eight shit motherfucker with the quickness. He's like, because we got to talk about our own stuff that's inside. And, you know, he introduced me to this idea of this challenge, I guess, that was happening. And I was like, ugh, I hated it. That right there feels so white gazy to me. Like, it feels so much like, you know, we have to, it's like still like, I'm human, you know, like, look at all these things. It just still feels like this weird,
like proving your
alignment.
Word.
Yeah. And this alignment to respectability politics that's sort of just like kind of deftly disguised as, you know, community upliftment. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, I sort of feel like, again, I want, there's a part of me that envisions places we're in, like I said, like this thing that happened on Saturday or Sunday, where like, it's just us and we kind of get together and work our shit out on our own, you know, like our intra-community, whatnot. Is it intra-community? Yes. The things within the community. Yes. You know, we work it out kind of on our own, you know, as far away from that gaze as we can get.
Deep healing in that. And I've always been a proponent of just coming back to your people in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it's something I would talk to you about a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be like, Ilka.
Yep. Yes. The sandwich.
You know,
black people, Slytherin for the people, black people.
You know, it's true. In the sense that, and I think I mentioned this maybe last week on the podcast, just that the importance of how we come together and we heal each other. Like there's healing there that I cannot express fully. But I can definitely say that, especially when you work in a field that is filled with like a lot of white folks and just whiteness, period, when you're able to find a group of black folks or people of color, mm-hmm. when you can come together as a group, as you maneuver like through various events, because I've been to events and, you know, that's basically what's going on.
Right.
And I usually come with a pack of black folks and a pack of people of color. And so when I come into spaces or we come into spaces, it's like, well, who are those folks? And it's like, we're in here, we're in your space healing each other.
Mm.
That's how we're doing. And so it's so funny. It's so funny. Like, when members will like of Women in Comics will come to me, or we'll just talk about it, and they're like, "Oh my gosh!" Like, usually when I'm going out to conventions, I'm going out to this space or that space, like there's none of us, or there's very few, or we don't really know each other, and to come on in mass together,
right.
at an event, it's so powerful. So, you know, and we thank each other for that, because I'm like, I thank you for coming with me, because
I
didn't want to go either.
You know, but right.
But maybe we had to go to an event, you know, network or whatever.
Yeah.
But we'll go in with like 10 or 15 of us. We'll just be a whole pack.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pack of family, a pack of family.
It's together. Simultaneous risk reduction and joy amplification. Because I know I've noted it in myself that when I find myself in these situations where I'm the only one for like an extended period of time, as soon as I enter a space with somebody else, like it is a visible physical relaxation. Like my shoulders drop and I didn't even realize I had them up, however high I had them up. Like, it's just like, okay. there's, okay, one other one. Just one other one. And so the magnification is like proportional literally to like the amount of people. Like the magnification of like just that relief, that joy, just absolute strangers. Oftentimes absolute strangers. I told you the story about the time I rolled up in a honky tonk in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was a sea of white people, and there was one other black person up there, and I walked right up to that dude and just gave him dap, and it wasn't nothing about nothing. Had never laid eyes on him before in my life. Just like walked in, looked around, found the only other one and was like, yo, son. And he was like, what up? And that was it. And it was just like, we good? Okay. I see you. You see me. Here we go.
It's a family thing. It's a family. It, we have that naturally.
Right. Right.
You know, right. We have that naturally. What, you know, I just joined like the yarn community. And the yarn and crochet knit community. And it's so funny to encounter black folks that are also crafters and going to events, and they automatically, when they see me, hello, how are you? I'm like, I'm good, how are you? You know, it's just so automatic. Hi, it's just the warmth.
Right.
It's like, oh, you good, sister? You good? You good? You all right? Okay, sister, just check in.
Girl, hey, girl, hey.
Like, hey, girl, I love
hey,
that.
What you got here? What is it, shea butter? Yes, girl. Tell me about it. Okay.
Yes. Yes, it's just the beauty of it, of community, of how we come together and we make sure that we're all right.
Yes.
And how that does affect, and I don't know if we should pay attention to it. I think it is important that we do, but how it does affect the unraveling of whiteness. And I mean, of, you know,
the unfortunate truth.
Assimilated into
yes
whiteness, you know.
So you're saying how we pay it, how we notice the unraveling of like the ways in which we as black people are indoctrinated to perform whiteness, or are you talking about the unraveling of actual white people?
Well, I'm talking about how our sense of community.
Yes.
How we, like what we were just talking about, like as we are, like we come together, we see each other, okay, you're safe, you're good, okay, and how that familial feeling, how it affects the unraveling of whiteness.
But in within, who though?
Within us, but within them as well. Oh. When they see us commiserating and like, what is that?
Right. I mean, I feel like within us, it just goes back to us having these places where we can like hold space for each other doing that shit, you know, because for us, it's the woo, girl, the homophobia, the transphobia.
Yes.
A lot of black people are actually very conservative. And if the Republicans wasn't just on all of this, we hate you nigger shit, I bet you a lot more black people will vote with them. I promise you that. It's true. Wow. Think about it. Okay. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, that's the thing that's really interesting to me. And so that I think answers the, well, is one thought about the part of your question that's like, how would we unravel it? You know, I mean, the misogyny, you know, the fact that, you know, a phrase that is fairly popular is that black, like, what is it? Cis had black men or white people, black people.
Yes, it's true. It's absolute truth. It's true.
It just makes me giggle every time because I'm just like, no lies there. Accurate.
That's also race. I mean, it's also based on a lot of racism of what has happened to us. I'm not giving them excuses.
Oh, no.
But I mean, as we unravel, quote unquote, unravel things further,
right?
You'll see it. It's like, you know, if you were always told from the moment you got to this country, the moment you were put into cuffs, like you need to be like us.
Right.
You should want what we want.
Right.
You know, you should want to assimilate.
And
you know, you should not want to be black. I mean, I can definitely see. I understand why black men take to that.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, why they take to it in the ways that they manifest taking to it. Because, again, we're all working on not taking to it. And the other thing, too, that I find so interesting, again, as we all learn more and as we continue to, unravel this, dismantle this, is the, like, historical context for a lot of the reasons why we have these isms in our community. So I want to say, is it Bermuda? Shit. I can't remember the island, but there is an island that to this day is like mad, massive homophobia. And turns out that like that was an island where slavers would go and like break the men.
Wasn't it Jamaica?
Was it? Maybe. You know what? Probably the fact that we can't pinpoint that shit probably means that there was more than one, because we know there was more than one.
Yes.
So whichever Caribbean island that they went and impacted them in, they broke them in the ways that like we can probably imagine. And that led me to this book called The Delectable Negro. I can't remember the, gird your loins ho, because it's about to get gross. The Delectable Negro by someone. But you, I mean, you're not going to forget that phrase. And it's like The Delectable Negro, and it talks about homoeroticism and cannibalism during the diaspora. Yes, snitch. So they, you know, Black folks really, 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 really got a number done on them, are in the process of getting a number done on them, have never really not been getting a number done on them ever since the kind of diaspora began. I feel like, I always say, if you're not coming to the conversation with at least that much, don't come to a conversation that's at my table. There is a more basic conversation for you. That being said, as well, I do think that the way that this is unraveling in, like the way that we are seeing whiteness unravel in white people, is referring back to what I was saying before about like how they're wiling, like they're wiling. And a point that I have been making some, maybe like last month or something, was I was like, whiteness makes people act like demon children. Because I do feel from a shamanic perspective that whiteness, toxic white supremacy, you know, is a demonic force. It makes you do inhuman things. It makes you do things that are nonsense. It makes you do things that are just like inarguably evil, right? It's not a coincidence to me that like you see pictures of certain people, right, in government, in media, whatever, and you're like, that person don't look right. Like, you can see the picture and you're just like, where is the life? You and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
People have talked about
yeah.
this. You know? And you're just like, oh, what happened? You know what I mean? Even, and it's just like, did they just put the clone in because they were tired? Is that the clone? You know, there's something, you know, there's something about it where it's just like, man, just puppets. What happened? Like, are they lizard people? Like, the fact that there are so many conspiracies, you know, not giving credence to any of the many conspiracies. The through line, however, is that like all of the people that are looking at them, again, suspiciously, are seeing what? I believe that what they're seeing is whiteness, right? You know, like as this demonic force, and they're calling it whatever they call it, but it's a disconnection from empathy and from humanity. Like, we're seeing that literally the missing link that makes them do this terrible shit to people. We can trace it back to scarcity consciousness and, you know, imbalances in like, you know, universe and whatever. And the way that it's enacting itself in real life is really fucking terrible ways, right? And so I'm sure you saw the footage of the police, whomever the fuck he was, that little nebbishy man with the glasses, not the glasses, the mustache and the face, the one that was throwing a straight tantrum. He was like, you disrespected, I'm proud to be a police. That guy, did you see that thing with all them standing there?
I refuse to listen to them, but I saw the image all over.
It was what you think. And the way that it was introduced to me was this, like, anti-narco-posse, like the narcissist, like the psychopathic narcissist. Like, they're just like, here are the things to look for. Like, somehow that's how it came on my timeline. And they just gave, they just added all the lists. Like, they just listed or bullet pointed all the ways in which everything this man was saying and the performance he was giving was lining up with, like, you know, like narcissistic psychopathy. And I was like, cool, yeah, nice, cool, yes, yes, it all tracks, it all makes sense. So that is a massive way in which they're wiling. And it just, you know, like the way in which that particular
I was just about to get there.
Oh my God, the frequency is real. And it's like from the perspective that then goes back to the how suspicious, you know, I feel. And I'm seeing reflected in a lot of the Black people around me, where it's just like, you know what? Here's the thing that sucks about this, is that for a while now, at least for the vast majority of my lifetime, I have been attempting to tell the people around me, or commiserating with the other people around me who could see it, that the shit is on fire. They're like, there's a fire. There's a fire in my house, and there's a fire in the house of my family, as it were. And, you know, it's just like, hey, you guys whose house isn't on fire, there's a fire here. Could you help? You know, it's too bad. Oh, your house is on fire. That's too bad. My house is not on fire. It's fine, you know. And you're like, okay, cool. And we just talked about, over the generations, the ancestors and descendants just talked about how this fire was not letting up. It's really hurting us. We can't breathe. You know, we couldn't breathe, rather, because I want to be mindful about spells. We'll get to that in a second, what we say. But how it was making it way really challenging for us to live our best lives, and it just really didn't seem like anybody gave a shit. Even when they sort of acknowledged it, was like, yeah, too bad, you know. And then we started telling them that, you know, the fire was like getting out of control in our house, and it was starting to spread, and that they should be mindful because the fire was coming toward them. And they were just like, we're good. Not a fire, and the fire is at their doorstep. We were like, hey, yo, just so you know, fire is at your doorstep now. Like, our shit is still fully on fire, and also is coming for you. And they still didn't believe it. Not a fire is in their house. Now these motherfuckers looking around. It's literally like that meme and that little dog where it's just like, this is fine. And now it's like all of those people, is that little dog, are like, oh, wait, this actually isn't fine. And so it's this thing where we're watching them like come so late to a game that is grown so urgent because it's been surging for so long. And we're also seeing them, because of the way that they have been interacting with the game for all of this time, not like, we're seeing a really interesting learning curve for a lot of white people, where it's like, well, how do I act now? And also we're seeing them enact their habits of like centering themselves. That I think is the shit that cracks me up a little bit, is like, when you see a person who really thought they were doing something with that post, they really thought they were doing something with that tweet, with that GoFundMe, they really thought they were, and it actually is just them centering themselves again. And, you know, because
I don't know how they make them feel.
Yeah.
Specifically doing that. I mean, I'm
specifically.
Really, specifically. It's unfathomable. I mean, just, and I'm laughing because I'm to see it so much, like, oh, this makes me so sad. It hurts my soul. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but maybe this will help. And so I really want to do something. I'm not sure what. And then they finally say what they want to do something about for what topic, which would be like Black Lives Matter or something. And it's like the last sentence. Or it's in the middle of this whole diatribe about how this whole situation has made you feel. And I'm just like, no, no, no. No, you talk about the folks that are directly in pain, not you.
I mean, I'm just thinking about, I'm thinking about something that I, a gift that I was given in the form of an absolute whiff, an absolute brick of a Black Lives Matter solidarity post that came into my life yesterday that literally made me laugh sporadically over the course of the past, I would say, 24 hours, and nonstop for 15 minutes at one point yesterday. Like, I and I want to, oh God, I want to share it.
Well, just tell us.
Okay, so this person I know somehow managed to integrate, or rather enmesh, her pregnancy announcement with her support for Black Lives Matter. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm just going to give, the listeners just a couple pieces of information. No, the baby's father, neither of this child's parents are Black or even of color. You could, if you wanted to stretch it, they technically are of color, but you know, it's one of those later ethnicities that were sort of like subsumed into whiteness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. there was no reason for this person to me to enmesh her pregnancy announcement with the Black Lives Matter movement. There were so many other ways that that could have happened, both things, including like announcing her pregnancy in a way that does in fact center her, which is appropriate, rather than smooshing them together in this bizarre parfait of like performative centering shenanigans.
Can you just say what she did?
No, I won't do it.
Okay. All right.
I won't do it. I don't know. I mean, it just kills me. It doesn't kill me. Cancel. It sends me. It sent me. It will send me again.
It was just very self-centering and self.
I'll never not laugh at that. I'll never not laugh at that. And in that way, it is a great gift. I'm just sitting here thinking about it right now, laughing.
And then the audience can't laugh. Okay.
Fuck it. I'll tell you what she did. So my girl stood there with her pregnant belly, and she had somebody paint Black Lives Matter on her pregnant belly, and then a little heart, and then the word mom.
And a daddy not black.
I said it one time. I'm not gonna repeat it.
The daddy not black.
You motherfuckers better have listened. Okay, the daddy not black. They're not black.
So it's not. There's not a black life. So there's not a black life in her belly.
There's not a black life in there. But it was just like, it was to me, like, I was just like, but the thing is, you know what? Fuck it. It happened. I experienced it. The world experienced it. I get to talk about it. And it's just so interesting to me because I'm just like, amazing. Congratulations. I have so much love for you. Congratulations on your growing family. And also why you did that there. Like, you would have just come out and said, you know what? This is a really hard time. Perhaps, you know, some joyful news for our family will bring you some joy. Boom, I got this bun in the oven. Like, okay, but you didn't do that. Like, what is this weird piggybacking? What is this weird combination of things? You know, this, were you sending a memo to your unborn child? Like, was that the memo? Like, the kid is in there, like, being able to read mirror writing from outside. Like, just like, okay, like, right, okay, that don't make sense. Like, it sent me to a new place, and it was actually massively healing because I know that this woman, for lack of a better term, like, her heart is, you know, in the places you'd want it to be, you know, like, she is in the process of her learning. It is like the great unlearning and relearning and da 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 and all of that. And also, I am just gonna allow us the space to clown the shit out of her because it just feels to me like it just goes to speak to how disconnected we are culturally, right? And how, because so much in the media is geared toward them, so much is like considering the white gaze, like we've been conditioned to default to whiteness. And all the time, you know, like in books we read and like the way we see images, like the thing where every now and then someone will be like, if you Google beautiful women, you know, it's all like, this is who comes up, like that kind of thing.
Or did you think about hairstyles?
Which one?
You Google professional hairstyles versus unprofessional hairstyles.
Right.
Professional hairstyles, it's all these different like white passing women who have their hairs in buns and all this stuff, and it looks on quote unquote nice and neat. And then unprofessional is a twist out, it's an afro.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's that thing. It's like, yeah. Yeah. Body hierarchy. And that thing where it's just like whiteness is you know, has been placed at the top of the ladder and blackness has been placed at the bottom of the ladder. And, you know, we have been taught to, like, you know, the point of the game is to try to fucking get up that ladder, you know, get closer to whiteness. And so that's how we start to see anti-blackness show up in non-black communities of color. At any rate, it's shenanigans and chicanery, and really amazing to experience how white people are in this like mad scramble right now. And honestly, what I'm just offering is, I'm just like, you know what? What if you just, okay, two things before you do anything else. Actually, three things. One, open your fucking purse. If you have deep pockets, if you are hearing this and you have deep pockets and you're a white person, open your fucking purse and give some money to the people who are out here, you know, literally putting their lives on the line. Like, quit the bullshit, right? Your shit is ill-gotten. Just accept that now. Like, your pockets are deep because of whiteness. Deal with that if you're white. And if that thing, if you're like the 0.025% to whom that doesn't apply, you know, okay, cool. That's not most of you. Open your pockets. And even if open your pockets is like, you know what, let me go ahead and like get some markers so we can make some signs as a fan, something.
Well, also, let's be clear. Anytime anybody wanted anything done, specifically in this country, whether it's run for office, open a business, you know, do various things, it was backed by somebody's money. Mm. The reason why most folks are in office, they have to campaign. Like, they have to, and they have to go and do fundraising and all that stuff. People give them money.
Right.
And in exchange, they usually promise something or other. That's another topic for another day. but that's how things have gotten done. So I sometimes see some of the celebrities, and they need to get off Twitter. They need to get off all the things. A lot of these celebrity folks saying some wild stuff. But then at the same time, I'm like, thank you for letting me know who you are.
True.
And good night. But some of them are like, yeah, stop telling us that. I'm like, no. I'm like, when you guys were behind whatever politician or behind whatever business or invested in whatever company, what did you do? You gave money. That's what you did. And that's what you're still doing. So wouldn't it make sense to give money to these community organizations, these different foundations that are actually putting their boots to the ground and getting work done, and whether it's in the office or it's on the street, wouldn't that make sense? Stop getting angry when someone says, open your pockets.
Mm. Right.
They already do it.
Yes. Well, I earned this. Okay, sure. So the other thing, so one, open your pockets. Two, like just honestly start commit to using a capital B. Yes. Use the capital B. Like, start there. Even if you're like, but my money, I don't want to give away my money, I earned it in my family. Start using a capital fucking B. Can you do that? Can you use a capital B when you were talking about Black people? Can you create that habit? Like, can you move through the discomfort of giving Black people our capital B? Because we don't have the capital C for Croatia. We don't have capital L for Lithuanian. We don't have S for Switzerland. We have B for Black because we don't fucking know.
That's true.
So give us the fucking capital B. Start with that. Because that's going to take half these motherfuckers, you know, a hell of a time. They're going to have them get mad about it. Get mad when they forgot to capitalize the B. Have to deal with that shit. So reverse it. Start with capitalizing the B. Then, you know, maybe you could consider opening your pockets. I feel like, if, and for those of you who have, word, thank you, appreciate it, because this is, again, going to be a long campaign, and campaigns of any kind need funding, so good on you. And start using the capital B. And there was a third thing, I can't remember what it is now. But honestly, just like, truly, who was it that said that, like, one of the most loving things white people can do for themselves is just unpack their anti-Blackness? Somebody said that. I can't remember who it was. And I was like, that's really nice. Like, that's a really true thing. So, yeah, the unraveling across the board is pretty stunning to watch. It's pretty stunning to watch. And I think, too,
it's all right, let it out.
Yeah, just, you know, I really wish no one's house had to be on fire, but now it just feels like everyone's house is on fire. And I guess,
or they know that the fire is there, because maybe they didn't realize the fire was burning before.
Well, no, you know what, I think that's the thing. It's just like, part of the reason they ignored the fire is because, you know, the fire was warming them, the fire was cooking their food, and, you know, giving them what they needed and keeping shit comfortable. You know what I mean? That, like, alignment and, like, benefit from, you know, protection, adherence to, closeness to whiteness. So, but yeah, it's pretty, it's a really fascinating experience. And so all of that answers what I've been doing over the past week.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long week, man.
Yeah.
That's a long, long week.
And we brought meditation back, so that was cool. And girl, I do believe I earned about $1,000 for the Loveland Foundation doing meditations.
Oh,
with our little dance studio. So that was nice. I don't know if that's the matched amount. If it's the matched amount, then cool. If it's the non-matched amount, you know, like, it's just bowling.
Tell the folks what you were doing with Loveland.
So Loveland is a foundation that is, I do not know to what degree, organized and run by Rachel Cargill, who is a Black woman. I'm not even, honestly, I'm going to go ahead and call her an educator. And if for whatever reason this makes it to her ears and she does not consider herself that, mea culpa. But she has this foundation and it awards vouchers, like donation fueled vouchers to Black people who, for therapy, right? So I myself, some weeks ago, like dropped a little piece of coins in there and also got myself on the waiting list because I was like, I would like to do this. And so I got some vouchers, which is amazing. And I'm actually using the first of them this week. And as serendipity would have it, our dance studio, I teach meditation for our dance studio as like a trade for classes. And the management came up with the idea to turn this week's classes into a fundraiser to support who? The Loveland Foundation. So I thought that was really nice. That felt like a nice little present and a bow and a way to just sort of like, you know, stay in that regenerative circuit of mutual aid, you know, like, yes, thank you for giving me, like, here you are, we're in alignment, even though we don't really know each other. And, you know, here's a thing for you, a thing for me, a thing for you, a thing for me. And like, here we just go, you know, just continually feeding each other up into this, you know, spiral dynamic. So that felt really nice. So that's been going on. We also came back with the, our Instagram live meditations for the tip crew. So that's been feeling cool. It has been feeling nice to sort of settle. And I do appreciate, again, I do appreciate old girl with her Black Lives Matter Love Mom tummy, because it really was like it. I received so much healing from just laughing at that shenanigan.
I got a couple of messages already in regards to the fact that people are laughing their asses off.
Nice.
Thank you.
I mean, it was truly hilarious. 15 straight minutes. It was so healing. And I feel like to given the sort of the download that we got for our top of the week meditation, where, you know, it was told just where we were told to just like stay in the spirit of play, you know, and love really is enough. Like love is all around and there is enough, you know, and it's just like in a lot of really twisted ways, like like she posted that thing to do like to signal or, you know, like let people know where she was. And it was just so clumsy and weird and odd and strange. And yet it still brought me a lot of healing, you know, and like may the people who are like hearing this story and cackling their asses off, like may it actually be healing for them, because I feel like there's no way for some of this to not be trenchant, you know, because we're really down in like the fucking dirt and the mud with each other, right? And with like psychic fucking wounds and infections and injuries, you know, and how they're just like descending and showing on like every aspect of our, you know, existential experience, right? And we, you know, I feel like we got to find the pockets where we laugh at that, because if not, I don't know if that's going to be sustainable. And so that I would love to kick it to you, because I really want to talk about ways for us to honor ourselves and create places of sustainability for this, you know, honestly, what we came here to talk about with Black people anyway, because we've been at this, you know, at the very least for the entirety of these lifetimes or this lifetime in which we are as Black people, right? And also, you know, what do we do now that we have this like extra level of it where it's just like we do also contend, right, with our fellow students in this earth school who are in white bodies and who are just like, oh no, it's all on fire. What do we do? Oh my God, get it, what? What? Oh no, myself, center it, right? How do we create sustainability practices? Like how are we able to like find a level at which we can keep this up for an indefinite amount of time.
There has to be equal amounts of fight and play.
Okay.
And at least in my experience, it's like it's because there's a lot of energy that we all are expending out here trying to uplift each other, but also trying to fight for equality, essentially. And so you have to keep fighting, but you have to rest. You have to relax. You have to play. You have to not be afraid to laugh and feel safe. And there has to be a balance to it.
Ooh, I hope people don't hear whatever that is.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you? Did you hear that shenanigan?
No.
Okay.
Maybe someone doesn't want us to give play.
I don't know. Whatever. You gonna let us be heard, damn it.
That's right.
It's a new day now. You listen to black people now. Shit.
It's true. It's
don't
true.
Just pretend to listen to black people and then do the dumb shit you was doing before.
Seriously.
Wow. This interference is really upset. It's like, it sounds like it's arguing. Like I said that and it was like, ha, sha, 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 sha.
Really? I don't hear any of that on my end.
You know what? I'm over here just becoming something every day, telling you my life path to just become a ball of light, like at the end of Powder, is well underway.
I know you didn't.
I did. You laughed because it's true. So I'm saying I'm gonna just hang out in this bitch for, you know, a handful of more decades, and just be like, I'm out. Just pow, just turn into a ball of light, just float away. Like, I'm out. Not coming back. Some bullshit.
But back to your point, you have to have equal amounts of fight and play. And sometimes it's not going to be balanced. But you have to make sure that it is in some way, shape, or fashion. And that's why I appreciate organizations that have like conferences and such that talk about that. Now I'm hearing interference myself.
Yeah, I took the phones out.
Oh, you took the earphones out. Okay.
Yes, and then just to see what would happen. Okay. You know what? I'll take.
No, you're good. No. I'll take. You're good. I can hear you. You can hear me perfectly.
Yes. Well, no, I put the headphones back in.
Okay. Cool. Don't worry.
So hopefully only I can hear it, and listeners won't.
We'll find out when I upload this on a podcast.
Yeah, it really and truly is just like a shit, like, yes, something is out here getting into some times and things. This better not be no shit with somebody trying to break through. We hear some like alien frequency.
Don't do it.
Some Morse code shit. Oh, that reminds me. I have to watch the Dead Files. I keep forgetting to go watch them. I don't know why you're so convinced I got to watch this shit, but okay.
Well, one episode. Do it today if you can. But that goes back. Well, that's in line with you know, fight and play. True. But I mean, that's my thought process on it. I mean, as someone that does her best to actively work in helping others, and helping yourself, helping myself, I guess. Like it's stressful. It's stressful. It's a lot, and people are sacrificing their time, their lives. It's, you know, serious business. So you do have to have time to decompress,
mm-hmm,
and be at peace. And it's kind of rough when you're a black person, especially given what's going on right now. You know, you have the police wiling out and stuff, and we're discussing defunding the police and the possible abolition of the police as we know it. You know, that contributes to all of our concerns and stresses and so forth, but it also is in alignment with sustainability. It's like, how can we make sure that people are that we're holding them accountable,
mm-hmm,
for what they do to us,
mm-hmm,
what they do to our communities.
You know, also it reminds me of a thing that I'm so, thank you so much for inspiring this remembrance to share it, because I was actually, it came through for me in a conversation with another great friend of mine about, you know, the language we use when we're talking about this, right? And I've been seeing it to pop up with a couple of the other sort of with the other kind of like black woo-woo types, where it's just like, we got to be real careful about some of the stuff we're putting out here in the way that we talk about this healing process, you know? So one of the things I saw was someone cautioning protesters, like, you know, what if I can't breathe wasn't a chant, you know, like you're casting spells with that, you know, like you actually can breathe, you know, that kind of thing. And so that's why, and it's so interesting because what I've noticed lately is that like a new chant now is the you gonna lose your job. And I love that one. I think that one's kind of all right for now, for like the moment. It tracks to me. And just the ways in which you and I, like I've caught myself and noted sometimes even in this podcast, some of the languaging we use. And it really came up for me in a conversation that I had, sort of a challenging, chewy kind of conversation I had with a white friend some time ago. And that I had been actually experiencing sporadically with the various kind of like check-ins from the white front lines that I'll receive, where they use the word worry. You know, I'm worried about you. I worry. And even in the moment, like that made me cringe. That actually has always made me cringe, because when I was very young, I learned this thing where there was a saying, it was like, you know, like, don't worry. Why would you pray for bad things to happen? Why, you know, and then over the course of time and shamanic studies, that keeps coming up. Wow, this interference is loud. They don't want me to say this. I'm saying it.
You're clear on this end. You're very clear.
Oh, good. Okay. So, well, maybe I'm breaking through whatever on this side. I don't know. It might just be we on somebody's retrograde cusp. Anyway, the point goes as follows. So it feels like in the moment, I couldn't quite place it. And it took me a couple of days like to figure out why I was having the reaction I was having to her express what I truly believe is sincere concern. And I was like, oh, this feels kind of like a curse. Like it feels a little bit like a hex, like that you are sending toward me that you're not even consciously, you know? And then the ways in which even people who, you know, feel or are aligning themselves with like sensitivities to the cause and stuff, you know, all of that, like even that, like we call it the struggle, you know? And I've been toying with and really kind of, not even toying with, but really examining ways that we can hold truth for the gravity of the ways in which this situation is what it is and manifesting the way it is, and you know, like touching on the emotions that it touches on, and also talk about it in a way that it doesn't keep us in the grip of that turmoil, right? So what are words that we can use that aren't struggle? What are words that we can use that aren't worry? What are ways in which we can encourage ourselves and also non-Black people to talk about the situation that doesn't make the Black people the problem? You know, like, oh, Black people have it so hard and, you know, blah, 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 and they're the brunt of it. And, you know, all of those things that like historically can be pointed to as true. How do we use our languaging to help imagine and envision, right, the future that we want to see, you know, like how, like, what does a life look like that doesn't have peace in it? You know, what does a life look like where like Black people get what they deserve and what they do? Like, I'm saying that. So that's something that I would really invite us all to do. Just be super, super mindful of the way we even talk about this, you know, and because it is such a long campaign, you know, I feel like we can take a little more time. She said, as she did it herself, I think we can take a little more time to choose the ways we approach this, you know, in every aspect, including linguistically, and perhaps very significantly linguistically, because thought forms become things, words become things. So.
Agreed.
Yeah. This is some shenanigans. I'm not enjoying this. Business. All right. It's just coming and going.
Oh, you're. Yeah.
If it is just I, then that is all right.
Well, take out your headset.
No, because if I take out my headset, then it's like doubled because it's coming out of my computer and then the mic on the thing is hearing it too.
Oh boy.
Yes. We want, yes, that's all right. Sometimes, darling, sometimes, you know, we make adjustments for the art to reach people for the content.
It's true. And I'm not editing it. I'm when this is posted on Spotify and Podbean, I'm not editing it. You know, I want people to know, like, yeah, these things happen. And sometimes, yeah, and also sometimes maybe there might be interference for a reason that's beyond our control. So maybe folks need to know that.
Maybe folks need to know that.
Maybe folks need to know that.
Maybe they do.
But I it's so funny. Like, this podcast is definitely supposed to be about equity and self-care and culture. And it's like, damn, where's the self-care?
I think this is it, though. I think the self-care is the part where we start to, I think we can let it be okay that we're still in the assessment portion of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, that we're all assessing the issue where it is now. You know, because you can't just be like throwing, doctors don't just throw, you know, like prescriptions to people without examining you first.
They shouldn't.
Right.
So you're 100% right. You're 100% right.
Right. She's like, oh, we got to see just this thing.
Yeah. You know, it's like, but it's important to address what the issue is and try to find out what it is. And then you can, you know, administer the balm, as it were. We don't want to just say, oh, like, okay, guys, there's a bunch of protesters outside. But why don't you put on a face mask? Like put on a mud mask and just relax and be at ease. It's like, no, you need to be a little bit more on your toes and get into action. And then we can talk about the mud mask. Tomorrow.
But you know what, too? I think that's a real, yeah. See, again, we done got caught up in these limited ass views of what self care is.
And you know what?
I can go ahead and sit freely in wherever space my Leo sits in and say, you know what, us showing up like this, this is self care. Like, somebody listening to some shit here got something useful. I'm gonna choose to believe that. One person, cool. Whoever you are, hello, thank you for showing up. You know, like, it's, no, I'm dead ass. Cause I feel like even hearing people, just like that thing where we all showed up for each other in those various Black functions, you know, and just looking at somebody's face and being like, I see you, girl. You know, maybe there is like some white person, I tend to doubt it, but again, I'm working with a whole lot of suspicion. You know, they might hear this and be like, let me actually look at the way I think about Blackness, you know, and how I interact with Blackness, to go back to your brilliant, brilliant, brilliant fucking point, which is like, a lot of these white folks know how Black people interact with Blackness, with whiteness, but like, what is your interaction with Blackness? You know, and that's a question that I put to to some of my very few white friends, because it's just like, what do you, you know, like, if I'm your only Black friend, what is your frame of reference? You know what I mean? And what are you consciously or unconsciously like deciding that I represent for all of Blackness, because when it's just like me?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question, because also I'm thinking about some of the protest posters that say, I love Black dick.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's your only reference of Blackness?
Yes.
Like, that's horrendous.
It's really not cute.
It's not cute. And it's really fetishizing. Like, you're not talking about a person. You're talking about their body part.
Yeah.
So it's like, dial it back.
I mean,
all the way back.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, it would weaken the point. We'll get to it in a second.
Well, I'm going to say, just dial it all the way back and pick up a history book. I mean, I will always say this. Pick up a damn book.
But the thing here's the thing.
You named a book. There,
look,
or
though.
Two, mm-hmm, go ahead.
There's, man, the books, look, the books are abundant.
They are abundant.
The books are abundant. The memes are abundant. The podcasts are abundant.
That's why, like, so if your only frame of reference is Black dick and putting that on a protest poster and thinking that's doing something? Nah. No. Yeah.
Well, the other piece, I mean, think about it. Black dick, how is that? How really is that different from, like, I'm telling my unborn baby that Black Lives Matter. Like, how is it different, you know, in a lot of ways? Like, it is just kind of like, it's just like, wait, where were you, like, what was your intention with that? Like, what was your, who did you mean for that to be? Because if you really wanted your baby to know that Black Lives Matter, you know, here's a crazy thought. Are you reading, like, you know, Maya Angelou, the unborn baby?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, are you hanging out with your baby when you're there with your baby and you, and your baby, Black Lives Matter, baby. Like, the thing that she, so the joke is, I was on the phone with my girl, the one with whom I laughed for 15 straight minutes. And apropos of nothing, I just sort of made up a jingle. Like, I just sang what was on her belly. And I was like, Black Lives Matter, love mom. Just that, just out of nowhere. And I was like, why are you ain't singing that? I was like, why are you ain't singing that? Why are you ain't singing that to your baby? Black Lives Matter, love mom. Just right into your unborn baby. Just sing it right down into your belly. Sing it. Let that little motherfucker know. If that's really what your life is about, don't nobody know you got to do that. It's actually, it might be preferred that don't nobody know you do that, because that's a little, you know, private. Like, if that's a habit that you're getting into, you know, it's just like, do we need, does that need to be your sign? Does that need to be your sign? You know, does that need to be the sign you bring to the protest? Does that need to be the sign that you put up on social media? You know, it's really fascinating to me. Oh, I remember one of the third things too, ways in which we can use Black folks and, you know, white folks who bought their life and non-Black folks, anybody who's bought their life, really, the ways in which that I would invite us all to consider redirecting our suspicion, right, is toward, like, what I've been doing with my suspicion is I've just been, like, sliding that information up into my third eye. So it just helps it helps me have an easier time kind of differentiating, you know, who is sort of an agent, right? For lack of a better term, you know, like, who's just throwing it up there, like, oh, girl for whom I used to work at rhymes with Blorblana. That like, so like we can, so you know what I mean? So like knowing that it, that is, you know, a predator who, you know, who's just like, ooh, this is a great opportunity, you know, to get more access to, you know, Blackness that I can then, you know, consume. You know what I mean? Versus like, you know, again, running that piece of suspicion, you know, again, through your third eye. And it's just like, oh, okay, this motherfucker just kind of late to the game, but they really feeling away. And, you know, what do they, you know what I mean? That doesn't mean you're exempt from being clowned, you know, because that's another thing that I think too, that is really true of at least some of the ways in which I have experienced my cultural heritage, like my Black culture, in terms of the way that like we kind of will gently tease each other, like gently, you know, because then intercommunally it becomes this conversation about how we can be really fucking cruel to each other. And also my experience of it as an adult, not with my own family, but that it truly isn't, you know, that it is from a place of love and it is teasing and not mocking. And I do feel like because, you know, people who align with this dominant culture of whiteness more so and like can go days without seeing a Black or brown person, which is largely never the experience of Black and brown people, they're really missing out because like they don't have that like day-to-day really experience and exposure, you know? They just don't. Like they just don't. Like it's, I think part of the reason why like Insecure sort of popped off so much, because even for me, like I was like, oh shit, they got the cadences right. You know, like they got the cadences, you know, of the way that sometimes we talk to each other, and they got the like, bitch, if you don't, you know what I mean? And how like sometimes you say that to a white person, like a white woman, and she'll bristle. Why'd you call me a bitch? Like, no, okay, never mind. Like you're someone, you know, with whom I'm gonna code switch because like you can't rock with it, you know, like you can't rock with the flow, you know, of just the way that we interact with each other, even in these like very sort of minor ways. So it would be really nice if white people would just stop blindly consuming our culture and actually interacting with it in a way that was like intentional and not from a place of consumption and actually from a place of sharing and then paid us for it. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I was listening to you.
I know. I was just kidding. I feel like I talked so much on these things.
I think you have a lot to say. I feel like you know, you'd be like, oh gosh, like the bridle is off.
Yay!
You know what I mean? Like I can be free. Like, you know, and so I'm just like, that's cool. I just, that, this is me. I'm like, yo, you be free.
Thank you. Thank
you. You definitely be free. And I think that everything that you've said has been very informative, very educational, as always, and on point. And I hope I gave a couple of gems too. You know.
Can I shower your praises for a second, since this is one where I'm just going to talk most of it?
Oh gosh, okay.
I just want to say to all you listeners that this podcast would not exist without Regine L. Sawyer. She really is in so many ways. I mean, I believe that really in a lot of ways this is mutual, but right now I'm throwing words of affirmation her way. Because isn't that one of your love languages?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's why. Because I hate fucking words of affirmation, but I love you so much that I'm going to speak to you in your love language for all these people to hear. Ew!
Oh,
like,
gross.
Okay. No, real talk, though. I mean, seriously, there is very little that my friend can't do. And really, what I know about myself is that I will just sit here in the cyclone of information and downloads, and I'm so grateful for her drive. I'm so grateful for her get up and go. She really put all this together, literally texted me, which is like, bitch, we're doing this, here we go, I found us a place to do it, look, here's this graphic, look, here's a name, what do you think, what are your thoughts, tell me, blah blah blah. And just and that is one of the things that I think Regine does for so many people with her organization. Like, she really just creates, you know, fields for creative people to run and channel, you know, information and just share it for the good of everyone. And so I really feel like, you know, again, open your fucking pockets and give her some money so she can do that, not only for herself in a way that is easeful and abundant, but, you know, but continue to do it for the people in her community. You know, like, we talk about mutual aid, and we talk about, you know, not everybody has a blue check, and the blue check doesn't necessarily mean you're doing great work. You know, there are a lot of people doing a lot of great work, and I feel like, you know, I feel personally very fortunate to have you in this vessel of a Black woman. as I am experiencing my adventure in the vessel of a Black woman. So, you know, thank you so much for that, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, just thank you for being you. Thank you for, you know, making me fish and gluten-free cookies, and thank you for, you know, yeah, just, and honestly, I just feel like, I really do feel like I'm channeling a whole message from, like, a lot of the people whose lives you touch. So
y'all gonna make me cry on the air.
I don't even know why. I don't know where the fuck this is coming from, because, you know, I'd rather be cussing your ass and yelling at you for when you be using the wrong words for shit. But, you know, hey. But nah, real talk though, real talk. I really feel like, you know, learning about myself every day and just being real lucky enough to, you know, have my little ball of light bump into other balls of light that can just say, we help each other shine brighter. So love is all around, bitch. Oh my God.
I love you too. I appreciate you too. Absolutely. 100%. It's mutual.
Girl, you ain't got to do that. Love, words of affirmation ain't my love language.
I know it's not, but I also say and do.
That's true. But it's yours. But you know what? It is yours. So yes, I will accept that. I will say, I will receive your praises in the verbal form. Heavens to Betsy the boss.
Yes. All that said, that's our show for this week, guys.
Yeah,
but we will, Lord willing, be back next week. Again, Ilka has meditations during the week. Are you set with your schedule? Can you tell the folks roughly? Okay.
I don't know how long this is gonna go on, but right now I'm just feeling like, you catch me when you catch me.
Okay, so like kinda a pop up. There'll be pop ups. Yeah, so just keep an eye out.
You just see like a you know, like a dolphin, like next to your boat.
Okay, so that means. Follow her on Instagram. That's at the Ilka Pinero. And when you see the IG live pop up, just jump into the meditation.
Yes. What's your crochet schedule? Your
Yeah. I took a break.
Oh, you're still on your break?
Last week. Yeah. Okay. And I think maybe I'll be back Sunday. I might be back Sunday. If I'm not back Sunday, I'll be back the following Thursday.
You know what? You come back when you come back.
Yeah. Like I'm just sort of chilling for right now. Yeah. But I just sent out a new newsletter for Women in Comics. We have some events coming up. Drink, Draw, and Poll is on June 20th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. EST.
Yes.
It's one of our annual events. Artists get a rare opportunity to draw moving and static models. So it's really different. It's really cool. You have several different models to choose from to draw. It will be on Zoom. It's in collaboration with Sheila Kelly, S Factor, New York. And we are doing it for charity. This is for the Bink Foundation. It's an organization that has been collecting funds to help struggling comic book shops. And also we have been doing fundraisers for several different community organizations, including Black Lives Matter, on our Facebook page. So feel free to jump over to the Women in Comics Facebook page and donate if you can. Also on our website blog, we have a full list of organizations folks can donate to.
Oh, legit. Good call.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was just echoing. Please continue. That was just me getting excited about you offering the resources.
So the resources are here. If I can do something, I always do it. So, please donate if you can, but definitely join us for Drink, Draw, and Poll. It's always fun.
Yes,
it's always a great time. And you get to draw some really awesome models and commiserate with your fellow artists. And I have some other stuff going on for Lock It Down Productions. On my Patreon, I'm going to start doing comic book lessons.
Ooh!
And those will be live streams. So I'll be teaching folks how to write comics, as well as world building, character description.
Look it.
And all of that. And no matter what tier you choose, for right now, at least for the next couple of months, you'll have access to the videos.
Access to the videos. I'm just out here being your hype man.
Appreciate it. So yeah, check out my Patreon. So that's at Lock It Down on Twitter, LOCKETT Down. So thanks guys so much.
Oh wait, hold on. I got a little snippet at the end because I really liked how you dropped all your resources. Really quick, I am working on things. I too have a Patreon. Everywhere I'm the Ilka Panero. If you go to my Instagram, I have a link tree. There's places for you to donate directly, not only to, you know, all of the organizations, all the petitions, with all the stuff going on now. You can also donate directly to the Ilka Panero, and those donations go toward offering free shamanic healings, Reiki, to marginalized people. There's all kinds of really good stuff on there. There's stuff to read. There's a link to my guided meditations on SoundCloud. So yes, I too, just keep it locked on both of us. Cause we got some shit in the works that you're going to want to be a part of it. So yeah, follow us, check it out. We'll be back. Thank you so much for joining us. And now I think I'm done, girl.
Okay, I'll take care. Be well, and we'll be talking to you soon. Bye.
Yeah.